At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer,
Frank Carcuri,
and Kyle Powell.
Yeah, that's right. We got Kyle Powell back. He's back. So, Kyle, I remember what I did. What we did on Monday before we started recording. Kyle and I were having a discussion and doing a little prep, and I was like, I completely forgot what we did on Monday. We just kind of jerked around. No, we were discussing what is a vacation.
Well, yeah, we did.
With the requisite amount of days for it to be a vacation. That was what we ended up on.
What was your conclusion?
It's got to be 3 days minimum, and you have to leave the area that you live in.
Well, then did mine suffice?
Yes. You were gone for a week.
Yeah.
You were gone for a week. You were gone for two podcasts worth of days.
You were gone for a really long time.
I didn't know what to do, man. We didn't have our three up, three down.
So, well, rest assured, we'll have it today.
Yes, we will. I could see a whole big old piece of paper with everything on that you need. And also, coming up today, yeah, we don't have any guests, but we do have Kyle back. And Kyle, you've missed a decent amount of things. There was a certain thing that happened, and
let me rack my brain on what could have possibly happened.
I know you were on vacation, but I'm pretty sure you've got this.
Week or so, I think it's something to do with Buffalo, right?
Yes,
I think. Frank, help me out here. What seemed to have transpired?
Billy Buffalo got dropkicked, right? That's what it was. Right?
I mean, that probably did happen.
No, that would be news if it happened.
It wasn't.
Mascot gets assaulted would be the headline.
Yeah. Come on, what happened?
It wasn't Jacques Martin, was it?
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Okay,
no.
Good. I'm on the right path.
You're on the right path.
Let's see. What news broke? Oh!
There we go. I was going to say, all right, the bit's played out. Let's go.
Yeah. Hang on. OTA? Nope, not OTAs.
The bit's not over.
Oh, yes. It was Mr. Barhopper himself.
Ah, yes.
There you go. Nice.
Ralph Krueger.
Yes. Is the coach.
Joined forces.
Yes.
Signed on the dotted line.
So what do you think of the former Oilers and Team Europe coach?
I like it. I like the idea. I think with what you had left after some of the coaches joined some teams, I think this is a good hire in terms of what he'll get out of the players, no matter what the roster looks like. I think he's a good player coach in terms, as opposed to like a systems coach, like buy into me, or you're going to fall by the wayside. I think he. I think
square
from what
peg,
I've read,
round hole. Phil Housley looking at you.
I think from what I've read, during my time away, trying to catch up and keep tabs with what has been happening, I feel like he'll be a guy that can get a lot out of this roster and will really appeal to a lot of individuals on the team and really, right?
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
And I think that's how you coach effectively today.
Yeah.
It's a lot of one-on-one.
It's a completely different coaching style game.
You got different personas, personalities, reputations, rookies, veterans, prospects, XYZ. You got to appeal to a lot of different masses, and I think Kruger's going to do that very effectively. And I'm looking forward to what the season will bring.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what this team does here. I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on that, seeing as how you missed the big thing. I might as well get you a chance to weigh in on it, because I'm not going to go ahead and recycle Thursday's podcast. We had a nice conversation with Jeff Chapman about Ralph Kruger. If you missed that, well, hey, when you're listening to this episode, therefore, it's the one right below it. And you can listen to our conversation with Jeff Chapman of SB Nation in Copper and Blue, writing for the Oilers, on Ralph Kruger.
I saw the video that surfaced, too, of the locker room conversation he had when he was last coaching the Oilers.
Yeah. I will still say, there are fans like that kind of ruin things for everyone sort of thing.
Of course.
If Ralph Kruger really did go to the bars to talk to everyone, and I'm sure he did, I'm really just hoping he didn't run into I need my grit guy.
That's right.
I'm sure he did.
If he ran into that guy, I don't know if he signs here.
You'd have to ask him yourself.
We'll get in contact with Sabre's PR department there, I guess. Because I really want to ask the question, how many of the people that you interviewed, Ralph, like I would say this off the record and be like, all right, so coach, how many people did you talk to that wanted to re-sign Pat Coletta and get a bunch of fighters for this team on the fourth line? And I don't need to report his answer. I just want to know.
Yeah.
I just want to know. Because anytime you mention something on Twitter or we screen calls, and there's always at least two people that call a show and it's like, hey, we need more grit. No, you just need to score goals. It's kind of what happens.
It's kind of how the game works.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. All right. But the big check mark is done. Ralph Kruger is hired. That's over with. The next big thing, though, is, well, you have a pending free agent that scored 40 goals. What's your confidence that we get a deal done here with Jeff Skinner?
I'm still very confident that they'll get the deal done. There's been nothing reported that it wouldn't, that there's an impasse or that there's tension.
Or that there's even other teams.
Well, that's really going to come.
I understand it'll come closer later to July.
That's going to come later.
Actual tampering.
Yeah. Right after the draft is that tampering period.
Legal tampering.
The legal tampering period,
which is the dumbest term ever.
Sure. But, so we're not going to hear anything until around the draft, which is still a month away. So, as of right now, there's been nothing negative being reported on the negotiations.
I know.
That still got me feeling good. And I think what it's mostly about, I think it's mostly term that they're working towards.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe term is a little more further apart than money is. I don't know. I don't remember what was last said.
I just want something. I want to hear something about tangible progress. But the good news that you can say out of this is, well, you heard nothing about the Sabres and Ralph Kruger until 2 days before he was hired.
That's true. Plus, obviously, Botterill's still busy with Team Canada.
We did say, though, that this is going to be something where I sense that Skinner's going to turn into a Steve Stamkos situation where he signs like 12 hours before the deadline.
Like during that tampering period.
Could see that.
Like everyone's going to be like, oh, great. They lost in the free agency. Fire Botterill. And then the next thing you know, they're like,
wait,
lol, just kidding. We got him.
Wait, he re-signed? Oh.
Why you got to do that to us?
Yeah.
Like, I always saw that coming, but at the same time,
I can still see it.
I don't want that to be right.
At the end of the day,
we've endured enough throughout the season.
At the end of the day, it does not matter when you sign him. Sign him. If you are gonna re-sign him, do it. The sooner the better. Yes.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between him signing tomorrow versus him signing June 26th?
Yeah.
It's not much.
Yeah.
It's just more stressful on fans. And that does not go into negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of if it still feels like it's not a matter of if he signs, it's a matter of just when it happens.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, I suspect that it's something that's going to end that way, where like we're going to be biting nails and just
yeah.
Like, come on, what are we like? What's going on here? I see that happening, yet
of course.
I still think that he's going to end up signing with the team.
Of course,
but I am growing less confident by the day. It's just natural to think that way.
My confidence would start to go down once the tampering period starts.
I think I'm at an 88% chance it still gets done.
That's specific. So you've done your homework.
Because
it's very specific.
Because as the time passes, I'm feeling less confident, but I'm still rather confident that they get him re-signed.
Jeremy White tweeted this morning via Evolving Wild, the latest contract projection for Skinner was around 8 years, $68 million, which goes out to 8.5.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what
that makes
that's
sense.
A comparable to what winger? Jamie Benn?
Benn is
what did Mark Stone get?
9.5.
Oh yeah.
Benn is also at like 9.
Taylor Hall?
Taylor Hall is at 6 right now, but he's a free agent next year.
Okay.
So Skinner's contract is gonna impact what he's gonna make next year.
So then you're right.
I don't know about that. I think Taylor Hall's in a different class.
We're talking like scoring wingers, and
I think Mark
around
Stone,
the same age.
I think Mark Stone put that.
Well, I'm not talking like comparing the players. I'm talking they both play similar. They will play pretty much the same style, and their age is right around is very similar to where when they are free age when they are UFAs.
Well, then that's the latest.
Like that's why I compare Skinner and Kane and Evander Kane so much.
All right.
And Mark Stone.
All right, well,
I agree with that. I think what Skinner offers you on the ice is a lot more comparable to Evander Kane than it is for Mark Stone. I think Mark Stone gives you way more.
Yeah.
So that 76 over 8 years, I think, is something you work down from.
Yeah. It's going to be somewhere
and
in
half
between.
We
know
the Sabres are going to. Evander Kane's 49,
yeah.
7-7,
yeah.
And Stone 76.
I've been saying the whole season. Skinner's going to get more than what Kane got last summer, but he's going to get less than what Mark Stone is going to make, and Mark Stone got 9.5. So it's going to be somewhere in that in between. If it ends up being 8.5, fantastic. Make it happen.
So, guys, I'm looking at everything with the team's cap numbers.
Okay.
First off, the Sabres are totally going to end up having to give up a first-round pick to get rid of Kyle Okposo's deal.
Which I think at this point is fine.
I know, I just don't want to have to give up a first-round pick to an expansion team. It's going to hurt, okay? It's going to hurt. But the other thing I'm noticing, though, is that there...
It depends. It could be a first-round pick or it could be a prospect.
I know. But there is a grand total of 5 NHLers on the Sabres roster that are signed through 2021.
Yeah.
Wait, let's go. Jack Eichel.
Duh.
Duh.
Yeah. Duh.
Simply yes would have sufficed. Through 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Ristolainen?
Yep.
We just said his name.
We did Kyle Okposo.
Yep.
Sam Reinhart take him through 2021?
No.
Through 2020?
His contract's up after next year.
Up next year, so 2020. All right.
Two more.
Where are you cheating? What the hell?
Is Darlene's entry level through 2021?
Yep.
So that's four?
That's four.
Come on. It's probably another bad one, isn't it?
No.
No?
Yeah.
It's the final year of this contract. The player turns 36 years old at the end of 2021.
Ooh. Okay. This is bad podcasting that I'm sitting here offering nothing.
Yeah, no.
So just give it to me.
It's not a forward.
It's not a forward. I don't think Scandella is that old.
No. He is that old. No, he's not that old. The only one that actually comes close to this player's age is Matt Hunwick, and Hunwick's only through the rest of this year. It's Carter Hutton.
I was tentative to say a goalie, but yeah, that makes sense. It was 3 years. Okay.
Yeah, that's the five players signed through 2021. You know what? Let's play a game.
Oh, boy.
We're going to play a game.
Oh, God.
This is off the cuff.
Okay.
You ready?
Let's do it.
At the end of next year, mm-hmm. there is an expansion draft, right?
Yes.
Let's name eight.
Eight protectees?
Yes, eight protectees. I'm looking at it right now. Why not, right?
Okay.
So I think Eichel and Reinhardt are your pretty easy ones there.
Yep.
And Skinner, if he's signed, is an easy
yep.
player to go with as well. I'm not gonna go with the 7-3-1 here. I'm just gonna do eight because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I think Casey Mittelstadt will have to qualify, therefore he will be grabbed as a protectee.
So we got 3.5 right now. I got an asterisk next to Skins.
We'll talk about this, but fair. The spot for Skinner, whether it's Skinner or not, is protected for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Darlene probably will qualify. No, actually he'll only be in two seasons. Eichel and Reinhardt.
I don't think he would qualify then.
Yeah. Mittelstadt did get those extra 7 games. I don't know if he'll qualify.
Mittelstadt would have 2 full seasons and then those and 7 games. So he would need to be protected.
Yeah. So we got 4.
Yeah.
And then Ristolainen, would you?
I have a question mark next to him. If he's here.
Yeah. If he's here.
I would say his spot is protected because they might try to find someone to replace him there, that sort of thing.
So 5.
If he's brought back on a longer term, I'd keep Jake McCabe around. Brandon Montour.
That'd be four forwards. And then you have to keep a goalie, obviously, too. Yeah. And that's Linus Ullmark.
Yeah. And the major ones that you're kind of leaving off on this, I don't know if Alex Nylander is valuable enough that they'll keep him off. And if he's even eligible.
He might not even be here. We don't know that.
Exactly. And the other one would be Tage Thompson has not played 2 full seasons after signing his contract, so we should be fine there.
Likely, yes. And then there's also Evan Rodriguez, which, not bad.
Yeah. But if you're enticing a team to take Kyle Okposo's contract and dangling a first-round pick over their heads, maybe you actually have a better shot at that.
Yeah.
But yeah. There you go. There's our 8 off the cuff for an expansion, mini expansion draft talk right there.
I think you could definitely get Seattle to go for that, especially since they have to reach a floor.
Yes.
That's a good start.
But there's going to be a lot of teams that have similar...
Quote, air quotes around good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be...
Offering that sort of thing because of the 2016 or 2015 free agent class? When was it?
16. Lucic, Okposo... Yeah.
All those teams that signed those deals are going to be like, Seattle, we need your help.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, Seattle's going to have a Vegas-like start to their freaking franchise because teams signed some stupid contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chris Russell was in that class. There's mm-hmm. some really, really
David Backes, if he doesn't retire.
Yep.
Andrew Ladd. Oh, man. Where the Islanders saved like $900,000 off of Okposo. That was all the same year.
Mm-hmm.
All because Steve Stamkos stayed with the Lightning.
Yep.
I mean, it would have happened anyway, but still. There was one other player that would have stayed on the books through 2021, by the way. You wouldn't have protected him if he didn't retire on you in Patrick Berglund.
Oof.
There you go. There's your fun facts there for the day. All right. So I mentioned something about Jeff Skinner, and I said that his spot is a guaranteed protection. Because first off, if the Sabres let a top six winger go without replacing him, well, they're naive or overconfident again. I think they might have learned their lesson on Casey Mittelstadt. And the reason I mention it is because TSN's trade bait is out for the spring. Their list of what they perceive to be the top trade candidates for this offseason. And numero uno on the list is a man that loves his hot dogs, 3 years left on a contract at $6.8 million per season, Phil Kessel of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Two-time Stanley Cup champion, Phil Kessel.
Yes.
Guys, if Skinner walks for nothing and is gone, do you think the Sabres make a deal for Kessel? And should they make a deal for Kessel in this scenario?
The answer of should they would be very much so, because Phil Kessel is a great player. And he would provide that scoring that Jeff Skinner would be leaving. The problem is, what's the price? What are you giving up?
And that's the downside.
I could easily see Pittsburgh taking Tage Thompson and the San Jose first.
Oh, wow. Really, okay.
I could see that for Kessel.
Seems low.
That does seem low.
It may have to go up to Nylander then, if Pittsburgh says that's too low.
Oh, no. Twist my arm.
Pittsburgh's going to want a young forward.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
Nylander, and a first-round pick.
Thompson to Nylander. I'm not really losing much there.
A young forward or a defenseman?
I think they would go for a forward, because they're going to need to fill that roster spot.
Because Kyle and I were talking about something else while preparing for the show.
What?
What about Rasmus Ristolainen?
I don't see it. Because they already have six defensemen under contract for next season already.
Yes,
with
but
the lowest being Jack Johnson. Like, so Pittsburgh right now has more of a need for forwards.
I know, but here's the interesting angle on
this. They're going to want the cheap ones.
Kyle mentions, though, that a younger defenseman for this team might be what Pittsburgh might want. And here are the ages of the players in Pittsburgh. Rasmus Ristolainen is 24.
Yeah.
He would become their second youngest defenseman on their NHL roster right now. Marcus Patterson would be the younger one at 23.
And they just have to re-sign him.
Yeah.
And they have to re-sign Patterson.
But that's it.
But then you're out.
Rasmus Ristolainen is their second youngest defenseman locked up on a longer-term contract. And then you can maybe try to get somebody to help you get rid of Eric Goodbranson or Jack Johnson. I still can't believe they signed Jack Johnson to that contract.
I think in a year or two as well, if that trade goes down,
ready?
He becomes
Letang, 32. Johnson, 32. Justin Schultz, only one more year left on his deal. Dumoulin, 27. Mata, 24. Eric Goodbranson is a 27-year-old pylon.
I think the only way Pittsburgh would trade for a defenseman is if they try to move for Olli Mata.
Why would they move Olli Mata? I would rather Goodbranson.
He's been underwhelming for them. I know, Eric Goodbranson, Jack Johnson. Yes, absolutely. But Pittsburgh just signed Jack Johnson last summer. They're not going to get rid of him right. They're not going to get rid of him right away.
You say this.
And they just traded for Erica Branson.
Look, Ottawa can give you the world right now.
This is true. I'm not debating that. But Olli Mata was expected on them to be a good top four defenseman. And since he signed his contract, he's been injured and underwhelming. At least with Goodbranson and Johnson, they could just place them in their bottom six.
on the bottom pair there.
I just think they feel a lot more comfortable dealing away an older forward with what they have coming in the wings. Because we forget Jake Guentzel scored 40 goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still in his mid-20s. Jared McCann is 22 coming over in the Derek Brassard trade.
Yep.
Nick Bukestad, mid-20s. A center.
26, yeah.
You could put on the second or third line.
Gensel's 24.
Actually, third line, he's going to play center. He's still got Malkin and Crosby for forever. But I just think that angle, I think they'd be more inclined to listen to especially a right-handed shot in his mid-20s, low 20s still. Rasmus Ristolainen, it feels like he's 30, still 24.
And his side to become 2022.
To become the predecessor to who they've had leading their power play units for a decade now in Chris Letang. He's not getting any younger. He has injuries.
And he's 32.
He showed his age this year. Is he going to be Chris Letang? I'm not guaranteeing that for Pittsburgh, but you got to start somewhere. If you want to reshape that defense.
But the question is, I agree 100%. But you got to look at what Pittsburgh's going to think. If they're trading away Phil Kessel, who is a point of game player, where are they going to get that scoring from?
Jake Guentzel.
Guentzel, you got to hope that Guentzel can just come right in and be a point of game player right away, right after signing his new contract.
I think he could. He was in the 70s last year.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
That's the other thing. They had Kessel at a point of game. You know what you're getting out of Crosby and Malkin, and you're getting more scoring out of Guentzel. Don't you think if Pittsburgh's going to trade away a point-in-game player, they're going to want another player who can score a lot of points to complement those three right now?
Not entirely, because the other thing that they want is cap relief.
That and the fact that they spent last year outscoring their defense and goaltending.
And that is why if the Sabres want Phil Kessel and they're not, and because Jeff Skinner left for free agency, they're going to offer Nylander or Tage Thompson and the San Jose first round pick to do it. And they're going to have to, they're probably going to have Pittsburgh take a little bit of that cap too. Even though the Sabres can take it, you might need to retain a little bit of salary on Kessel, because you have to remember too, he's 31 right now. And you never know when a forward is going to start to fall off. And he's got 3 years left.
I would say this, though.
Kessel's a great guy to make that kind of move with. But for Pittsburgh, if they're trading away one of their top six forwards, they're going to want a guy who can fill that, who can come in, at least a young guy who could come in and take that spot or be a guy for the future in that spot.
I could see it, but I also can understand why Kyle threw the name Rasmus Ristolainen at me.
I could because I like the idea of Ristolainen as well. But for Pittsburgh, if you're trading Kessel and for Ristolainen, are you talking one for one or like Ristolainen and like a pick or something?
I think it would have to take a little bit more.
I just had a thought of an
old fashioned hockey trade. I think would involve less going back. It's not three pieces for one. It would maybe be a two for one. You may not even have to.
I think it would take more than just a low one.
For me, I think it would be pretty much. Could I get away with trading Ristolainen and a second rounder in 2021?
It probably would be that, or a second,
because you have two for, because you have 2 seconds in 2021.
Yeah.
You can get away with that,
but for Pittsburgh, you're talking, well, cap relief. It's trading, but trading you talk about getting cap relief.
But if they're going to look to trade Olimata, if one's coming in, they might want to move one out. Then they save over $1.5 million in the Kessel trade, if this were to happen.
Yeah, then they're going to have to. They already would have to make another move to get more cap relief, and that's why I would mention they would have to trade Olimata to do that, because of what I was just saying about him. Going for a young forward instead who's on an entry-level contract makes a lot more sense for Pittsburgh, because that's less that they would have to do.
And that's why I don't hate your idea.
You trade a $6.8 million player, and you get a guy in an entry-level contract back.
Yeah. And that's why I don't hate your idea on that. I would probably do that.
I think that's the smarter move.
If it's Phil Kessel for Alex Nylander and the San Jose first, I'm probably pulling the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pittsburgh would riot.
Yeah, they might. But you know what? They have a couple cups. They can deal with it. Actually, I don't know. People are kind of souring on Phil Kessel in Pittsburgh for some reason.
That's what I'm saying. And to the reverse side of your point, Frank, you say that you don't know when a forward could just drop off. Think of that from the Pittsburgh side.
Yeah.
You have a homegrown talent in Gensel that you can put right into that rank where Kessel was.
Yeah.
A guy that came through your system, blossomed just last year, who's 7-6 years younger than Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
And you could become a very more well-rounded team
the biggest thing,
in the process. I understand it would take another move down the road. But they spent all of last season. They went far. I understand. Their playoffs ended sour against the Islanders in that sweep. But I do have to give Pittsburgh a little bit of credit. It hurts me. But they found ways last year, and it really pissed me off. But they found ways, but they weren't conventional ways. Those games were 5-4, 6-4, 4-3 all the time because Matt Murray has taken steps back since bursting on the scene against the Sharks in the Cup. He's taken massive steps back. Pittsburgh had a lot of confidence letting Marc-Andre Fleury become unprotected in the expansion draft because they thought he would take steps forward, and he hasn't. Yep. And they were constantly outscoring their very poor defense and lacking goaltending because when Matt Murray wasn't great, neither was Casey DeSmith.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of – there's a different machinations. I like your idea. I like our idea. There's a lot of different ways you can look at this. I don't think there's a wrong way, but a more well-rounded team. If you're looking for Ristolainen for Kessel and pieces – I think they would enjoy that more because they have more promise on the back end than just Letang, who's going into his age 33 season.
The only thing that prevents this from happening is Kessel has a no trade.
It's a modified no trade.
Modified no trade / no movement.
Yeah. And basically all that is he has 8 teams that he can say no to.
Or no, 8 teams that he'll say yes to. That's what...
Did I read it wrong? Do I not have eyes?
And player submits an 8-team trade list.
Okay, yeah.
Teams that he would accept to trade to.
Okay. No, that's your one hitch in the road.
So
but
you would just hope that the Sabre, you would hope that the Sabres will be on the list because of Botrel for Kessel.
Sure.
And you could also hope that he's a fan of Ralph Krueger.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil Kessel. I know you're not listening to this, but I'm declaring myself the Trade for Phil Kessel Club president. And with my fellow committee members, Frank R. Curry and Kyle Powell, I want to say, Phil Kessel, we have Salem's hot dogs here, dude.
We have a baseball field named after them.
So
Delicious.
They're delicious. So if you want to embrace stereotypes again, I'm here as the president of Trade for Phil Kessel Club to welcome you and buy you an entire platter of Salem's hot dogs.
Rick is here. You get the real thing. In Pittsburgh, all you had was Heinz Field. Ugh, it's just the condiment. Now you get the actual dog. See?
You just stroll into a Schweggies and pick up some hot dogs, and there it is. It's a Salem's hot dog, man. And they don't play around.
Phil, we got those hot dog carts that are on the corners.
We do. Well, I mean, every city does.
Yeah, but ours are better.
Are they?
Maybe.
Just further hammer the point that they are indeed here. We have them.
There's actually one right in front of your place of employment if you work for the Sabres.
Yeah.
There's a cart right in front of the arena on game days and every day. You can just go ahead and walk out after practice.
Enjoy a hot dog.
And embrace the stereotypes that someone decided to bury you with in Toronto. But hey. He got his ultimate revenge on that story, so I'm all for that.
Twice.
But I am a huge fan of Phil Kessel. He's still, at 31 years old, one of the faster skaters that Pittsburgh has. He still has a deadly shot, and he also has playmaking ability still. He only scored 27 goals this season, but was a point-a-game player.
Yeah, I was going to say 55 assists.
Yeah. He can still get it done.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to tail off that quickly because, I mean, he doesn't play a very physical style. So he's one of those players that I think will last through the rest of his 3 years here at 6'8".
Yeah. Obviously, you always want to be careful
now,
but
sub-question. If Skinner does resign, do you still try to take a swing like this anyway?
No.
I mean, at the price you would name for Phil Kessel, which would be Nylander in a first... is there really much downside to getting another top six gunner for your team and that giving you guaranteed depth scoring?
You would have, at that point, you have to move a postal this summer then. Because you gotta, because they have to.
You don't have to, and here's why.
They have here's the why. They have the cap space, yes. Let's say, but let's say Skinner signs for 8.5 for 8 years.
Okay.
The Sabres right now have about 29.5 projected. That's their projected cap space. And that's assuming the cap ceiling is going to be $83 million, which is what the report is going to, is that that's the, what the ceiling is going to be. It's going to be $83 million, which would give the, in turn give the Sabres about 29.5. You sign Skinner for 8.5. You're already at, you're at 21 for cap space.
Okay.
You trade for Phil Kessel. That's bringing you down to 14.2.
All right.
You still have to re-sign Jake McCabe. You don't know how much he's going to want.
Right.
You have to re-sign Linus Ullmark. How are you going to handle that? Are you re-signing Ullmark for like 2-3 years?
He's an RFA.
I know.
I can tender him.
You can tender him, yes. You got, but you still got to figure that out. Because, you once again, how much is Ullmark going to want? Is he going to take somewhere in the millions? Is he going to want like $2 million? Are you giving him a bridge like $2.5, $3 million contract for like 2-3 years while UPL develops in Rochester?
Here's the good news.
Kind of like what Corey Schneider originally got in Vancouver.
But here's
before Corey Schneider got his $6 million contract from New Jersey. You also have to re-sign. You want to re-sign Evan Rodriguez.
Yes. The thing is that I don't think there's really much worry with that with $21 million. Because if you make a trade for Phil Kessel, you're not going to free agency to fill any needs here. Are you?
Any major needs, yes.
Exactly. I think $21 million is enough to play with for what you have to re-sign. Because you're only going to re-sign one, if either, of Larson or Gergensen's.
Probably not.
Preferably neither.
You're probably not re-signing any of them.
Exactly. So that's money you don't have to worry about putting into the team.
I mean, you could. They could absolutely pull it off.
I'm just saying that there's enough money to play with it that I'm... Look, I'm the president of Trade for Phil Kessel Fan Club here. A man can dream. But could you imagine a power play where you trot out Jeff Skinner, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Rasmus Dahlin, and name a person here, but then, oh, on the second group, guess what? Phil Kessel's rolling around with Casey Mittelstadt and Rasmus Ristolainen and still quarterbacking the second power play unit there.
And Victor Olofsson.
And Victor Olofsson's hanging around. And Brandon Montour is there. Does that not sound a little more sexy to you?
I would love it.
Because what was one of the Sabres' biggest problems last year?
Depth scoring.
What would Phil Kessel give you immediately?
Yeah, no, you're right.
All of it.
You're right.
Like the Penguins are a two-line terror.
Yeah.
Guess what the Sabres would have? Exactly that.
Yeah.
That'd probably ease the transition for Casey Mittelstadt to becoming the 2C.
And give him a guy like Kessel, that would really help.
Give Eichel the pair of certified gunners and say Skinner and Olofsson and put Reinhart with Kessel and Mittelstadt.
Well, let's play hypothesis here. Skins and Kessel are here. Let's find out what needs.
All right, Kyle's drawing up lines. Like it.
Well, with Kessel here, what do we assume is going back?
Let's
take the cost of the Nylander in a first-round pick.
Sure.
So no Nylander. We still got Risto.
Yes.
Still have Risto.
Okay.
But that's the other thing too. Are they still have a need for a center?
A center or a winger? I'm looking.
It would have to be a center.
It'd probably have to be a center.
It would have to be a center because if they wanted to, they could just sign a fourth line center, and Mittelstadt's your 2C, and Evan Rodriguez is your 3C. Mm-hmm. Or they could trade Ristolainen for a 2/3 center.
All right, so here we go. Skins, Eichel, Rhino.
Okay. Top line stays with the same.
I've got interchangeable, Sheary or Olofsson, Mitz, Kessel.
Yeah, Olofsson, Mittelstadt, Kessel would make a ton of sense.
But, okay, so is Victor Olofsson ready for second-line minutes?
That's why I have him interchangeable.
Okay.
And that would all depend on chemistry.
But then again, there's a gunner in Phil Kessel.
Then again, Phil Kessel's there.
For Casey Mittelstadt to feed.
Yeah.
So it's interchangeable, then we'll go third line. Sheary, Olofsson, Rodriguez,
Thompson.
Poso. Thompson. Whichever you want.
Yeah.
Sure.
Put Thompson there.
Cool. Thompson. That's the one I forgot.
And then Poso, fourth line, right wing, you have...
Larson and Girgensons.
No. I wouldn't even have them.
Yeah, they'd be gone.
I think that I think they're looking at the likes of maybe Sean Malone trying to be the fourth center or Rasmus Asplund.
And C.J. Smith.
C.J. Smith would also fight for that winger spot on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a youngster. We got a rush.
If I ever have to hear the words Larson Girgensons on the same damn line again, I might have my head explode.
Same line, no, but...
Same team.
I like what Larry did on the PK last year.
Same team at this point. Girgensons is Larson. Larson is Girgensons.
I know.
Actually, I know. No, that's a disrespect to Johan Larson, actually.
And then again, interchangeably on the D-Corps, Darlene Montour, Caber or Pilot in Risto, Caber or Pilot in Bogo, Scandella 7. Yeah, well,
Bogo's not going to be starting the season.
Neither is Pilot.
Right.
Well, neither is Pilot, surgery. Too. They're both.
So then what, Scandella and Nelson?
Yeah.
Fine. Wait for the other guys to get healthy.
Yep.
So what are your needs there?
That's the thing. If you're trading Ristolainen, and let's say you're getting a center to help your forwards, then with Bogosian being out, you would have a need for a right shot D man or another D man on your right side.
Yeah.
Which turns into what? Free agency. Anton Strawman as a bridge guy.
Maybe. Or they rely on a youngster like Will
Who's
Borgen.
Who's the big guy? Yeah, Borgen.
And especially now with
in a perfect world.
And especially now with Casey Fitzgerald and Jacob Bryson coming in as well to Rochester. I mean, if they make moves on with their defensemen, I'm not ruling them out as well.
I always screw up Olofsson's name. Always. I think it's two S's.
Yes, it is.
I put two F's.
But yes.
I didn't mean to fail you.
No, it's okay. But I think though that there's Look, a man could dream, and it suddenly doesn't sound all that unrealistic now, does it? How's that?
No, not at all.
Take that, Arcuri. Try to fight my dreams with logic. I brought some half-assed logic. Take that.
How much wing did Tage play last year?
All of it.
Was it all of it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Almost exclusively.
Okay, good.
Like, if he had to take a face-off... For someone to get kicked out, that's the amount of center he played.
I thought that's how I remembered it. I was just making sure. Because any less pressure you can have on that guy for him to think about, the better at this point.
And I think him playing in Rochester helped out last year to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
The way he finished off strong there. I think that there's... I'm not giving up on Tage Thompson here. I mean, dude's been here only a year. And he's shown promise, so...
Yeah, that's true. Nylander would make more sense as the trade candidate.
Probably. But if it's one or two of them, like I said, I'm not really losing too much between the two of them. I don't think there's an organizational fit for both of them in the long-term future anyway. I think they'll use one of them as a piece to acquire a player.
It can be. It just depends on how you do it.
It's their development. And I see a similar player, a guy that is a gunner. Who has a strong shot.
Just remember, it's not a bad thing.
And is sometimes a defensively liable player.
I mean, sure.
But what I'm saying is, if there's two of the same thing, pretty much, that you've got there, one just happens to be 6'6", you can use one as a piece to get something back.
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, that's why I say there may not be room for both of them on this team because
I think I think there is. It just, like I said, I think it just depends on how you do it and what you're trying to build. Because is it a bad thing if your top three right wingers of the few going for the next 5 years are Sam Reinhardt, Alex Nylander, and Tage Thompson?
Again, I don't...
You can make that happen. You could pull that off if you really trust that Nylander and Thompson can be top consistent top nine forwards for you in that way. You can interchange those three however you need based on whatever else is going on in your roster. Once again, you've got a good thing going there. You don't just want to build a good top six. You want to build a good top nine. And you're going to need guys like that there.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying if it gets you an elite piece like a Phil Kessel, I'm okay with parting with one of them in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's why I think the Sabres are a big piece away from a postseason berth.
I still think that big piece has to be a center.
I don't disagree. What I am saying, though, is that one of those players is probably going to be what has to leave in order for that to happen.
Probably, yeah. It may also have to be Ristolainen, too.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But again, that's just my suspected theory on all of that.
Yeah.
All right. So, which one of you b-holes watches Game of Thrones? Is that either of you?
Neither of us?
None of us?
No.
None of us watch it. That is what I've established here. Nobody on the breaking news. The Leftovers podcast cares not for your Game of Thrones. So guess what? I'm going to laugh at it without having watched it. Now, that's a dangerous precedent. I don't care. People are going to be like, what kind of opinion do you have on this sort of thing? Well, my opinion is this. You salty, bitches. You salty.
Yeah.
I'm happy that this show does not exist anymore on the airwaves because of the amount of inconsistent bitching that I continue to hear on a constant basis about whatever season 8 has been for Game of Thrones. It's such a disappointment. Look, man, the only people that I know that are more pissed off about what's going on lately with their franchise is Star Wars fans because God forbid that there's a woman leading role for Star Wars franchise, okay? No, instead all I'm hearing now are about pissed off things about how things are rushed. Guess what? It happens. Just because something doesn't happen the same way that you want it to doesn't mean that you and 800,000 other people need to sign a freaking petition about rewriting the damn season because you don't like what happened. You know what? I don't like how the 1999 Stanley Cup Finals ended. You know what? I can't really do anything about that. I can be pissed about it, but that's it. That's a bad example. The city signed a petition. But do you see my point? I don't like how the Bills season ended against the Jaguars in the playoffs. Can we redo that?
I don't like how the last 19 seasons of Bills football has played out.
I don't like how the Sabres season ended after January. Can we go ahead and hit the reset button? No, you little freak. There's no reset button. That was a Mystery Men quote, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Going deep on the references. But that's my point. Just because you don't like how something ended doesn't mean that it's necessarily a problem. I don't like what they're doing with Sonic the Hedgehog. They're still making the damn movie. Shut up. Just shut up about it. It didn't happen the way you wanted it because you had a theory and it didn't play out the way your theory worked out. Speaking of theories, we're talking about Phil Kessel. If the Sabres don't trade for Phil Kessel, do you think I want to restart the NHL offseason?
Of course you do.
But me bitching about it's not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to do anything. All it's going to do is people just say, shut up. God, you're so annoying. Guess what, all you people? You're annoying. You're so goddamn annoying right now.
Plus, that show follows the books, too.
And guess what? They don't have source material to follow on this one. They had to wing it. Guess what happens? Sometimes when you wing it, it doesn't work out. Give them credit. Where credit is due, there were some great visuals that I see people just continue to be in awe about with the final season. From what I saw on Twitter, the shot of Daenerys walking and the dragon's wings behind, and it's just like, that's freaky. This bitch got wings of a dragon right now as she's walking toward the stairs. It's like, they had some great visual shots in this final season from what I've seen on social media. Maybe focus on what was good about the show instead of continuing to complain about what was bad about it or what you didn't like because, again, it was not what happened or what you wanted to happen. Maybe I should be like that dragon Drogon and just burn everything about it because that's what happens here. Yeah, oh, whoops, that's a spoiler. Just take fire to the whole thing. The dragon had it right. All the people are wrong. The dragon had it right. Burn everything. Just so that I don't have to see you complain about it anymore. Holy crap.
I've seen like...
And yes, I know I'm a hypocrite because I'm complaining about complainers.
I've seen one scene from Game of Thrones from this season. Just one.
That's surprising because you're on Twitter.
Yeah. You want to know what that scene was?
What was it?
The scene where Aaron Rodgers got burned to a crisp.
Actual footage of Aaron Rodgers playing for Green Bay behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen plenty on Twitter, and guess what? I don't have to watch a freaking episode of this show because I'm caught up on what the hell is going on. And that's why I'm saying, shut up. Let the cripple win the day. Good for him. Just stop with this. You don't need to constantly complain about something just because the theory that you had didn't work out. It's exactly how the Star Wars latest trilogy is working out here. Things aren't happening the way that fans wanted it to happen, and they're upset and pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. They're not going to rewrite anything. They're not going to hit a reset button on this. Just stop. Also, how many damn reboots do you need these days?
How many reboots? Is too many reboots? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Let's redo the entire season of Game of Thrones. Yeah, but good luck getting everyone back for that. They took their money and effed off somewhere. The good boy got his pets at the end. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Just stop. I didn't suspect my... Like, I thought I was going to make fun of this. It turned into a pissed off rant. Just, you salty, bitches. You salty. That's how it is. That's me. I'm doing me at this point. Whatever. You don't like my take? I don't care. It's not the first time I've said something stupid or controversial or whatever. I was saying that it was no big deal that LaShawn McCoy accidentally spoiled Avengers for me. Whatever. It happens, man. If it doesn't go the way you want it to, that doesn't mean you get to go ahead and complain and think that you should redo it. You guys are sounding like New Orleans Saints fans. All right. Kyle, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah,
did you miss the fresh rants?
Yes, I did. I was yearning.
Yearning for it. Sometimes you often try to provoke me as well. And I've already got Frank to do that, and now I've got another one. Great.
Oh, stop right there. That does not sound like me.
Does it? Does it not? Does it not? But you know what does sound like Kyle Powell, though?
What's that?
It's three ups.
And three downs.
Oh.
Hey, we are back. Monday, May 20th for three ups and three downs, a brief hiatus. Let's start with the...
Hang on. Before that, should I have asked you to do six up and six down for missing last week?
Oh, jeez.
No, don't give him that much work.
A makeup test.
Don't give him that much
work. Good.
Let's start with the downs. So we're ending a little bit of a higher note. How's that? We'll switch things up.
Okay.
Look at
start
you.
Start with the downs. Down number one, the Seattle Mariners. In brackets, I have sad face. Yeah. They were 13-2, MLB best through 15 games since then. Last 34, they are 10-24. 23-26 overall as we are almost through the month of May, and they still hold the longest playoff drought in the Big Four sports going back to 2001. Does not look promising in the Pacific Northwest as we head into June yet again.
For I feel bad for King Felix.
The Mariners, yeah, I do too.
Career wasted.
Down number two, this is fun. The Mets, in brackets, big yikes. Five straight losses for New York, including they totaled three hits all weekend between Saturday and Sunday against the lowly 13-win Marlins. One hit Saturday with nine strikeouts, two hits on Sunday, eight strikeouts. Robinson Cano was under a lot of fire. I don't know if you saw any video surfacing from yesterday's game. He had a chopper in front of the plate that he thought was foul with a runner on first base and one out. Did not run out of the box, protested the foul ball. In the meantime, Marlins catcher throws to second base, and Miguel Rojas, the Marlins shortstop, I think could have walked the ball to first base for the double play. Yeah, Cano's under fire from the media. So is manager Mickey Callaway. His days are reported to be numbered. We will see. Not good in Queens yet again. As another season seems to be flushing for the New York Mets. Down number three, Joey Votto. This is kind of sad to see. 208 average, 4 homers, and 8 RBI through 44 games with a .323 on base percentage. Not very Joey Votto-like. That is over 100 points lower than his career average of .424. Same goes for his slugging percentage in Cincinnati, .340. That's nearly 200 points lower his career average at .524 per season for Joey Votto. He's been doing it for almost a decade, but he seems to be showing some age at 35 years old. The Canadian not looking great for the Reds. And those are your three downs as we start with them, and we'll go to the ups as we uplift the voice. Up number one is the Cubs. They're proving me wrong. Oh, go Cubs.
There you go.
I projected them to miss the playoffs, I believe, this year. They started off 3-8 since then. They are an MLB best 24-9.
Welcome to the Leftovers podcast, team.
Yeah.
You're not truly a member until you really get something wrong.
Yeah.
Like the NHL playoffs in the first round.
Yep. They seem to have gotten the Cubbies wrong. Their first 2 weeks were not pretty. They thrashed around the Nationals this weekend. Chris Bryant hit 3 homers on Friday night, I believe. They are now 27-17. Up, I believe, tied or half a game ahead of the Brewers in the NL Central. Up number two.
Game and a half.
Vlad Jr., boys.
Yes!
All right. Wrote a piece on him telling people not to worry last Saturday.
That's
and he goes
right,
out.
Yeah.
4 homers in the week, 9 RBI. Hit his first homer in San Francisco on May the 14th. Doubled his fun later in the game. Hit his second career homer, first 2-homer game. Got him off the schneid. Since then, he has 4 homers and 9 RBI. And he is 7-for-21 for a .333 batting average since the 14th of May with a 3-to-1 walks to strikeout ratio. Good for Vlad.
Yes.
Let's go. Yay. Up number three, a name you may not recognize.
Why
did
you save that one for up number three?
I don't know.
The reception we got for that
one. I don't know. Up number three, Josh Bell. Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman hitting .333 this year. 14 homers and tied for the MLB lead with Cody Bellinger with 44 RBI in 44 games. His career high in homers is 26. He set that back in 2017 in 159 games. Folks, he's already past the halfway mark for that career high in 115 less games.
Oh, dang.
So go Josh Bell. And there's your three ups.
Nice.
Go Pirates.
All right.
Not a great season in Pittsburgh, but go Josh Bell. Nice.
There you go. So I've got to end this podcast, I've got a one up and one down.
Woo-hoo.
Ooh.
One down. I'll let Frank take care of the one up here. Because you have the story pulled up. That's why.
Oh, okay.
It's good news.
Yes.
It seems like it's good news. But here's the one that I'm technically counting as a down. Nate Geary and I have the same wavelength right now. Nate put up a poll. Who complains more, Game of Thrones fans or Yankees fans?
Right now, I think the vote should be swayed towards Game of Thrones fans.
It is, actually.
Yankees fans have nothing to complain about these
days.
Yeah,
no, they don't. They're
first
fine.
They're in the AL East with a AAA freaking ball club.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting that that happened, but the bad news in this for me is that Nate and I are on the same side on this. I don't know, maybe should I change my stance? No, I had a rant and I've gone too far.
Plus, there's going to be something that you and Nate are just going to argue about.
I'll just make fun of him on Saturday and make a stupid open about something.
Exactly.
So,
I'll make get that a game, out of my... Make a stupid Game of Thrones open.
I need to talk to Geary.
And the one up is women's hockey players have announced the creation of a new players association with the main priority of forming a single and unified league.
That's coming from Julia Cruz of Sportsnet.
Yes.
And that seems like a step in a direction for a unified women's hockey league.
Yep.
I mean, the NWHL just lost the professional support of not just the Sabres, but the Devils. So, You know, maybe we see some changes in the short future here, because it seems promising that there's already a step in that unified direction that these players wanted to take when they announced their boycott of all professional leagues in North America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued. So this one, this has my attention. I like this. All right. Well, this has been the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And Kyle Powell, who would like to remind you that it is the 44-year anniversary of the Fog game.
Yes, it is. The Instigators had a poll. Is that the most famous Sabres game in history? And I have a certain Game 6 Stanley Cup Finals loss that might be more famous for probably the wrong reasons.
It'd be infamous.
But it's still more known, is it not?
Yeah, I think of that before known. The Fog game.
Yeah.
It's also the most recent Stanley Cup Finals game that they've played in.
The only reason I think it's okay is because they called it famous, because it was a win. Infamous.
Yeah.
Interesting. They may be two different categories, but then I can see again, the wavelength you're on.
But then again, I could also see one of the more famous games, Drury 7 seconds left against the Rangers.
Sure.
Force overtime.
Mayday.
And that's recency bias, but then there's Mayday. There's
Game 5 against Ottawa.
Dave Hannon.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty that you can go on. So, I wouldn't say that it's the absolute end-all, be-all, most famous Sabres game.
But that is for you to decide.
And that's not for us to do, because we already put up enough of your time. But I got to get back on something here that I haven't done in a while to end the show. 11-day power play. Frank and I, we're playing twice. Or I'm playing twice. I don't know if Frank's playing twice. He's definitely playing once. I've got my page up. It's a pinned tweet on my Twitter, at DerekKramer49.
Mine is up to as a pinned tweet at Frank R. Curry.
And we'll be sharing it throughout the coming days as we still are a couple months away from puck drop.
Yeah.
For the 11-day power play, the 5th to the 15th of July. So be sure to be down there at Harbor Center supporting not just us, but everyone else out there, and help us raise funds to take the fight to cancer, as all proceeds benefit Camp Good Days, Make-A-Wish Foundation, and, of course, cancer research at Roswell Park as well. So we'll be sure to share that in the coming days as well, continuing to stay strong on that. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday. Who knows what we have to end up stumbling upon, and who knows what kind of pissed off rant I might be on. As the dragon does, burn everything.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later, when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the 6th year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.